الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask Allah to exalt, dimension, and grant peace and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his companions, upon his wives, and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the day of recompense. As to what follows, brothers in Islam, ultimately we are living days of change. Change seems to be the theme of everything and everyone around us. And when things begin to change, it's going to change into one of two matters or affairs. Either changing from that which is evil to that which is good, or changing from that which is good to that which is evil. And you can probably experience around you both kinds of changes. So change is not necessarily good. It could be good, but it is not necessarily good. The question which we should ask ourselves is, are we changing? And if so, towards which direction are we changing? What kind of change are we undergoing? Are we changing towards the better? Are we changing towards righteousness? Are we changing towards uprightness, or are we changing in the opposite direction? Wallahu al-musta'an. It could be that we are changing towards goodness in a general sense, yet in some areas we may be having some shortcomings. Or it may be that we are completely changing towards what is evil, but there's still some remnants of good. And the truth of the matter is, what we should all strive for is the ultimate change for all that which is good. And this is based on a hadith which we learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith in Sahih Muslim. عن أبي عمرو بن سفيان بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه he said, قلت يا رسول الله قل لي في الإسلام شيئا لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك. O Messenger of Allah, tell me something in regards to this Islam so that I don't have to ask about it anyone after you or anyone besides you. No one else. I would need no one else to pose this question to. Tell me something. Something I can hold on to. Something that would help me accomplish my goals in this life and the life to come. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a concise and precise answer. If we were to reflect upon it, act upon it, then we will solve all of our problems individually and as an ummah at large. The answer was, قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم. Say, I believe in Allah. Or better yet, I believed in Allah. Then remain upright. Now, do you imagine, or can you imagine, a Muslim from the Sahaba at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not knowing what iman in Allah is? Impossible. In fact, the slave girl back then, who was busy with the sheep, when she was asked by the Messenger of Allah, Ayn Allah, where is Allah? She said, Fis sama. Her aqidah was sound. She knew the names and attributes of Allah as per the Quranic revelation. She didn't hesitate to say that Allah is above the creation. The slave girl who wasn't in the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on daily basis, like the other Sahaba were, she had a sound, correct, straight to the point answer. Of course, nowadays, learned people can't give you the right answer. because they've included, you know, Greek philosophy and what have you into the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So now everybody has his own aqidah, but they still like to call it Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But it is not. There's only one aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You need to know more about it. You need to study about it, brothers. We need to study about it. And the classes are available, readily available. Whether you download MP3 files or you come in person, classes are being conducted to teach the right aqidah. We have to participate, as we will see later on, inshallah. So they understood what that was. They understood that, yet he told them, قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. Say, I believe in Allah, because there's never enough. Because iman in Allah has to manifest. It has to appear in our behavior as well. And we are not free from shortcomings, and I'm the first to admit, we make mistakes on daily basis, which we ask Allah to forgive and pardon. No one is going to reach perfection. No one is going to reach perfection after the prophets and the messengers. And even the prophets and the messengers, there were times when they made decisions which could have been better, so Allah revealed revelation to guide them to that which is best. Not that they made mistakes, but that they didn't make what would be the best option. So Allah would reveal the best option. And you learn this from the story of Dawood or Sulaiman or even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that does not undermine their character in any way, shape or form. But this is the human imperfection. Human imperfection, Allah created us with it. You can't run away from it. You can't avoid it. قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. Say, I believed in Allah. How much do we really believe in Allah? You see, if one thinks that praying four times a day or three times a day constitutes belief in Allah, then one is mistaken. Belief in Allah has to do with every choice we make in life. It is not merely the prayers. We're not undermining the value of the prayers, but it is not merely the prayer. رُبَّ مُصَلِّنْ. Perhaps a man standing in salah will have nothing in terms of ajr from Allah because of the quality of the salah. The quality is below the standards, is below what is acceptable to Allah. How many of us may be praying in this fashion, where salah is not really salah? It is not how Allah described the believers in the salah. He described them that قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They have attained, they already attained success, the believers, who are submissive in their salah. Brothers, are we submissive in our salah? Truthfully speaking. Or are we calculating the next business transaction, or the next strip, or the next I don't know what, or the shopping list, while in salah? We're thinking about going back to work while we're in salah, because it's the salah comes during the break, the lunch break. Many, many bitter facts. Where's our real belief in Allah? If the salah is no good, don't ask about anything else. Belief in Allah is not, even if the salah was excellent, it is not only that. It is being abd, a slave of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some people criticize, they don't like the word slave. They say, why are you using slave, and slavery has evil connotation? Slavery is not how it is understood historically. It is not about a race enslaving another race, because that is not the meaning intended in the term abd in Islam. It is the sense of being totally dependent on Allah. Is any one of us free from that? You can't even breathe, brothers. We can't even breathe. We can't even have our hearts pump if Allah doesn't make it happen. What form of... Well, this is the greatest form of slavery. Let's be humble in it and accept it. There's no shame in being an abd of Allah. In fact, when Allah wanted to praise the Prophet ﷺ, every single time He wanted to praise him, He called him Abdullah. Ala abdihi. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. And the ayat are many, many. So this is the real sense of amantu billah. Because when we believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, when we have the sound aqidah, this is a fortress. It is a fortress against the attacks and the doubts which people cast on daily basis. We are living such scary, dangerous times. Very scary, very dangerous. That the people are constantly trying to brainwash us in all kinds of ways. You can't trust anyone anymore, illa man rahim Allah. The news, the media. We Muslims ourselves have fallen victim to the propaganda which we get from the TV. So now a Muslim will think his fellow Muslim is a terrorist. And he will report him. Even though the brother is trying to practice the deen. I mean, things have become very, very strange. And when we believe in Allah, we have this fortress which will protect us from doubts. If you don't receive emails, praise Allah that you don't have to hear and see what some of our brothers are actually believing. Muslims have doubt about the Prophet's marriage to Aisha, saying words that are strange. How could a sane person marry a young girl? Hey, this is the messenger of Allah, akhi. How can a sane person? Are you saying the messenger of Allah is insane? I mean, we have to learn these matters so we can watch our mouth when we speak about the messenger of Allah. Many Muslims themselves don't understand the marriage to Aisha. So they have evil thoughts about the messenger of Allah. The shaitan will use this to send them to Jahannam. He will use this to send, because that's one doubt. Then another doubt comes. Then a third doubt comes. Now they're saying, well, I have to really, you know, reconsider my Islam. Is this really the true religion? And then the shaitan continues to lure them and entice them until he traps them. Once they are trapped, none can save them but Allah. If Allah wills for them to be saved, if they deserve to be saved. That's why we have to have this fortress in belief in Allah. It requires studying, education, as in you grab a book and you have a notebook, just like when you went to school. It is not merely listening. There's a lot more to it, but at least listening will fulfill one objective of having the general understanding. Excuse me. Thumma istaqim. Now that we have believed in Allah, there's something that should come afterwards, which is istiqama. What is istiqama? Istiqama is to remain on the straight path. To remain on the straight path without deviating neither to the right nor to the left. Rather continuing on it by doing what is obligatory and leaving alone what is prohibited. And there's a hadith in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Nu'man, which truly exemplifies this idea. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam struck the similitude. He said there's a straight path. There's a straight path. And the straight path has an entrance. There's a gate. There's an entrance. And then there are walls on both sides of the straight path. A path, an entrance, and there are walls on both sides. In these walls there are doors. Many, many, many doors. And each door has a curtain. Has a curtain covering the entrance. Then he said, and then there's a voice. There's a voice which calls on the people from the front, from the entrance of the Sirat, which says, all of you enter together. All of you enter together and do not go left or right. Remain straight on the path. And then there's a caller which calls from top. Every time the person wants to move the curtain, the voice says to him, woe to you. Woe to you, do not open the door, because if you open the door, you shall enter. Once you open that door, you shall enter. Like Yahulu Hawla al-Hima, the one who's going around the sanctuary area. Yushiku an yaqa'a fi. Very soon, when we deal with the doubtful matters, we will fall into sin. Very soon when we deal with the doubtful matters, we will fall into sin. It begins with a nasheed, then it ends with a rap song. It begins with a nasheed, then it becomes full-fledged singing with albums and artists and touring the world. It begins with a couple of jokes, then people become comedians. People that were given da'wah, which we could have considered beneficial, now they became stand-up comedians touring the world. And what is the subject of mockery? Islam. But they say a disclaimer, we're not mocking Islam. Then what are you doing for the sake of Allah? We don't see you joking about anything else except the deen of Allah. You're a person who's looked at as a person of da'wah. When you become a stand-up comedian, that is your form of da'wah. Brother, be careful of the doubtful matters, because if we continue to play around with them, we will soon fall into sin. So the voice is saying to them, woe to you, don't even move the curtain, because if you were to move the curtain, you shall go in. Then the Prophet ﷺ explained. He said, As-siratul mustaqim, that straight path is Islam. And the voice which calls you on the entrance is the Quran. The voice which calls you at the entrance is the Quran. Stay on a straight path. The walls on the sides are the limitations of Allah, the hudud of Allah. And the doors are the prohibitions, the things which Allah made prohibited. And the voice which calls you from above is that self-admonishment, the self-consciousness which Allah has created in every human being. Your own self tells you, be careful. It's an excellent hadith to display, to illustrate the reality of what we're dealing with. We're trying to stay on the straight path, and we got all these doors, and now the curtains have been decorated. Now the curtains have been beautified. Now we have callers standing at the door saying, come this way. Come so I can give you this and that. Shayateen of ins and jinn. Of ins and jinn. Trying to invite the people towards Jahannam. And using different words and different names and twisting facts around. So brothers, are we able to stay on the straight path? Are we able to stray on the straight path in the light of all of these temptations? Yes. Walhamdulillah, yes. Because Allah promised that He will keep firm those who make the effort. It is easy. What has passed, we repent. What is coming, we change. The change towards goodness. The change, we're always being given a chance to change. The question is, are we going to change? I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive me and forgive you for our sins. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Brothers in Islam, you have heard in recent times the statements of blasphemy that have been circulating in the Muslim world. Every other day now, we hear of a new individual, a journalist or an artist or whatever they call themselves, having the audacity to belittle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something that we thought we would never see. We knew it existed, but for it to sprout, to exist, to become, to be declared and proclaimed before the masses, this was unexpected. And all these are signs for the believers. They are signs that changes are going to come around. Evil is going to spread. The situation will get better in some ways and it will get worse in other ways. Because if you read the ahadith which speak about the end of time, you will find that they contain both glad tidings of the goodness which is coming and warning that no time shall come except that the one before will be better. Things will get worse and worse until the end of time. So we have to take advantage, benefit, and utilize from that which is good that is coming and get involved in it. People were calling towards goodness, the Islamic awareness, the return to Allah, many people repenting, many people practicing the deen. Alhamdulillah, we work together, we support one another, and we have to be careful of the shaitan. We have to understand that the shaitan is at our case. Every single one of us, none of us is free. When he sees that the Muslims are working together, he must separate them. He must divide them in slick ways. And if we fall into them, we will pay the cost. We have to be very, very careful. Whenever brothers are together, whenever there are times where we discuss in the need of the ummah, personal matters have to be set aside. Personal grudges have to be stepped on.
I'm speaking to myself first. We have to understand that it's a trick from the shaitan, and when these things happen, they must be rectified. If we continue to dispute amongst each other, then we will never accomplish anything, and the whole thing will get out of our hands into the hands of other people who will not be like us. Who will not be like us. Personal opinions are nice, but they should not be imposed and given precedence over the general benefit of the Muslims. And I'm saying this because out there in the field of da'wah, there's a lot of contradictions and conflicts between the brothers, which the shaitan loves dearly, because that is the only thing left for him, the only option left for him to stop goodness. We have to be very careful of them. We have to be very careful and set them aside, fi sabilillah. Even if I'm right, fi sabilillah. When we make a mistake, admit the mistake and go back, fi sabilillah. There's no harm in doing so, but there's a harm in continuing in the wrong way. When you see people working towards goodness, come. Brothers, honestly, how many of us meet each other besides on Jumu'ah? How many of us know the names of the people around them? How many people do you know in this masjid? We are separated, we are divided, but what brought us together is Islam. And if it brings us together on Jumu'ah, it should be able to bring us together outside of Jumu'ah. But we are too busy with the dunya, too busy with A, B, C, so we don't have time. We have to defeat that. There must be community work. There must be social work. There must be people working towards noble objectives. Fi sabilillah, and for the benefit of the ummah. When you see them, join them. Don't join a group. Don't join a group. Don't become a tablighi. Don't become an ikhwani. Don't become a salafi. Don't join any group. Be a Muslim upon the way of the righteous predecessors. That's all we need in our lives. We don't need any further division with names and titles, because it doesn't really fulfill any beneficial objective. And these methodologies are not your father's property for you to be declaring people to be upon it or off of it. It is the deen of Allah, and whether you like it or not, people are upon it, even if they don't want to join your cult. Don't join any group. You want to work for da'wah? You don't have to be part of Jama'at Tabligh. Are only Jama'at Tabligh given da'wah? La wallah. La wallah, Habibi. Everybody's given da'wah, alhamdulillah. You don't have to have a group with a special organization, 3 days, 3 months, 40 days, whatever. All this stuff is not from the deen. Give da'wah to the best of your ability. Don't join groups, because that will divide us. And the more divided we are, the more problems we have. As for the evil that we see spreading, we have to be very cautious about it. And we have to avoid it if we're unable to address it directly. If we can't tackle it head on, then we need to back away and withdraw from the whole situation. Because we don't want to be part of the evil. If we become among those who spread the evil, it's all in our necks on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. It's a very sensitive matter. Let us, my brothers in Islam, let us truly believe in Allah by learning. Learning. Please, 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 let's learn. If you've been here for 5-10 years and you still can't speak Arabic, there's something wrong. Seriously. We're not saying quit your job and don't earn a living and don't take care of your family, no. But you cannot convince anyone that you can't dedicate an hour a day to learn a language which will give you understanding of the deen. An hour, ya Sheikh, an hour. And honestly, we spend it checking email and checking the Facebook updates and sending Twitters and what have you. We spend it anyways doing something that may not be as constructive. Let us learn the language which will enable us to understand the deen. There are a lot of da'wah centers providing services. Where are you, brothers? Why is it that we don't see these faces every day in every occasion? They are being put together for you, for you. If you don't show up, then what is the point? Money is wasted, time is wasted, efforts are wasted, and the ummah will lose. Let's change our views and ways. Let us start working together. Get to know the brothers around you. Get to know who they are. Try to work out the differences. Love them fi sabilillah. Let them love you fi sabilillah. Can you imagine what benefit and what accomplishments we can have in a short time? It's all in the hands of Allah. The Sahaba did it, and until now we speak about them, we praise them, and they will continue to do so until the end of time. Because they were able to get over these differences so they can come together as Muhajireen and Ansar, all in defense of the Messenger of Allah and the Sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us follow their footsteps in goodness and righteousness. Because this is the path to success. This is as-sirat al-mustaqim, and this is the means through which we can remain firm and upright upon it. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مصرف القلوب اصرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم اغفر لنا وللمسلمين في كل مكان اللهم انصر اخواننا المستضعفين في سوريا اللهم انصرهم على عدوهم يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم عذب بشار وزمرته عذابا أليما في الدنيا والآخرة يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم انصر المسلمين على عدوهم وارحمهم والطف بهم يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أقم الصلاة